see everybody here again today. And if you're here in person, we hope you enjoy the worship and the fellowship time. If you're watching online, well, we hope you enjoy the worship. And again, I invite you to come down once in a while, say hi, meet your fellow congregation. And this month, it's the 29th of September, come down and we have cookies, cake, and ice cream after the service. So hope we see you there. I believe that's all I've got for announcements. Do you have any? Okay, all yours.
Good morning. Please stand as we sing number 95, Praise God from Whom All Blessings Flow.
As we gather in your name, we humbly seek your divine guidance during this worship service. Be the beacon that illuminates our path, the compass that directs our hearts, and the wisdom that guides our thoughts. May your presence be felt in every word spoken and every note sung. We trust in your infinite wisdom and pray for your guidance to lead us on the righteous path. May your light shine upon us, O Lord, as we navigate the challenges of life. Grant us the clarity of vision to discern your will and the strength to follow it. In your holy name, we offer our gratitude and say, Amen.
Our next hymn is number 154, 1, 2, 3, and 6, not 4.
Welcome, beloved. Why have we gathered here today? Come, who is the maker of us all. What do you seek from God, our Creator? We seek God's wisdom to guide us and show us how to live. Are you ready to follow when God's wisdom leads us down unexpected paths? We'll trust and we will follow wherever God's wisdom leads us. Well then, beloved of God, what are you waiting for? Let us worship and seek God's uncommon wisdom together. Amen. Okay, now we come to a time of joys and concerns. I know we have one joy. I don't see her here, but I know Wanda must be feeling better because we have bulletins today. She wasn't feeling good during the week, and I'm glad to hear that, or it appears that she seems to be better. Does anybody have any other joys or concerns? Boy, that's good. Well, at least for concerns. It would be nice to have some joys, but dear Father, our everlasting Lord, we've received everything we have from you. All your provisions make us complete, and all your grace perfects us in your image. We are gathered here today as a group for your glory. Thank you for the gift of life and fellowship with our group. Without your grace, these beautiful friendships would not grow. Father God, we ask that you may restore the faith of those who come today broken. Strengthen those who may feel weak and hopeless. We pray for the building of faith for those of us who cast a shadow of doubt on your power. And for those who are anxious, we pray for peace. As we appeal to all of these, we believe these are already answered prayers because your grace and mercy know boundaries, our Lord. Despite your generous provisions, we likewise pray for humility, for we know that humility and fear of the Heavenly Father leads to true riches. Through the mercy of Jesus, we pray that you grant these in his name. Amen. Almost. Now, please join me in praying the prayer given to us and named for our Heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Loving Creator, we dedicate these offerings with hearts guided by your wisdom and grace. As we gather on this September Sunday, may our gifts embody the teachings of Proverbs, spreading honor, kindness, and justice to all. Use these offerings to uplift those in need, fostering hope and peace in our community. May we live out your wisdom in our actions and generosity. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If the ushers would come forward. Got it. Thank you.
Our next song is number 171. There's Something About His Name.
Well, today is a little longer than normal. We've got several scriptures. The first one is Proverbs 22, verses 1 and 2, 4, 6, and 16. A good reputation is better than much wealth. High esteem is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord made them both. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is wealth, honor, and life. Train children in the way they should go. When they grow old, they won't depart from it. Oppressing the poor to get rich and giving to the wealthy leads only to poverty. Then we have Psalm 125, 1 and 2 and 5. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time and forevermore. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. We have Psalm 146, verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Lastly, we have James 2, verses 1 to 4 and 14 to 17. My brothers and sisters, do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ of glory while showing partiality. For if a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes into your assembly, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here in a good place, please," while to one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself has no works. It is dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, today we're going to talk about wisdom. The actual title is whose wisdom, whose word should we follow? And we'll get to that, but let's start a little bit and talk about just what is it. And if you go to Google, I'm old-fashioned, but we don't have dictionaries anymore. The fancy terms are that wisdom is the use of one's knowledge and experience to make good judgments by interpreting and understanding knowledge that leads to a greater insight, or what we more commonly know as common sense. Wisdom is a collection of attributes that, when taken together, form a way for a person to make an informed decision. And these attributes are, and there may be a couple more, but the main ones are, you need insight. You need the ability to see the inner qualities and relationships with people that you're among and with. You need judgment. You need good common sense. And judgment may be formed in a person by generally accepted beliefs and the beliefs of society around you and the laws of the land at the time. Knowledge is accumulated philosophical or scientific learning. And then there's teaching. And in our case in particular, the teachings of ancient wise men is definitely of a prime importance as far as guiding our wisdom and our decisions and our choices in life. Now, all the above attributes may come into play when making a wise decision in our daily lives. Now, the problem is to determine which of the attributes is applicable to our choice of action. You know, there's a lot of different decisions to be made before you make a decision very often. You know, if the decision involves our moral and spiritual lives, it often involves a choice between what is right and what is wrong. In this case, the teachings of the Bible would be a more applicable choice. However, if a decision is to be made concerning something technical or mechanical, well, it would be best to lean on your accumulated scientific or technical knowledge. You know, every choice or decision that you make will be dependent upon one or more of those inputs and will tend to decide which way you do or do not go. Now, wisdom is a trait that has to be acquired. Wisdom's not a quality that we can be taught. Having a college degree does not necessarily give you wisdom or make you a wise person. I know I have seen or worked with several people who were very, very well educated, had college degrees, yet when it came to having any kind of common sense, they were lacking it. And I've seen it the other way around. I've seen people with great common sense who don't have a college education, yet if you ask them to go out and build your house, they can do it with no problem, no trouble at all. So there's no commonality there. It's something you have to acquire. You have to gain it throughout your life as you experience life. And you do this by being taught and from learning from your actual life experiences that you encounter, and from your knowledge of life experience of others. Not only do things that happen to us change our values and our attitudes and our opinions, seeing what happens to other people or how other people act can also help form our own attitudes and morals and life's opinions. Acquiring wisdom is not always a painless process. We wish it would be, but it's not. You may be told not to touch something hot when you're young, yet you'll probably truly only appreciate the concept of getting burned until you grab something hot. And I think then that you will realize exactly what you were being told to be careful of and not to do. It's very hard to describe how it feels to have your feelings hurt until it happens to you. These are just a couple of examples. I mean, you know, life experiences may be good, and life experiences may be bad, and, you know, some may be very helpful, and in the course of learning, some may be hurtful, but that's life. Now, another real problem occurs when the attributes of wisdom described above conflict with each other. This can make the choice you make either harder or easier. We have a tendency as humans to make a choice that is the most convenient or the one that will fit our wants best, not our needs. One of the biggest challenges come when we deal with decisions that can be based on our beliefs and faith in God's teaching versus society's laws and customs, which I'm going to call man's law. Societies, you know, our laws, our legislatures, and our societal norms of today. I'm just going to cut down briefly, and then, you know, as we go through this, I'm going to call it man's law. In other words, we must choose to obey God's law as set forth in the Bible, or man's law as determined by our leaders and the accepted norms of society at this time. The conflict is not always between spiritual law and man's law. There's always a conflict between man's laws and what we do or do not want to do. I wish I didn't have to add this to it, but when I talk about leaders, I'm not only talking about the leaders of our government, the state, federal, local. Unfortunately, in this day and age, we need to be a little bit careful in that our church leaders, our spiritual leaders, may not exactly fit into what you would expect or want to do it. Particularly, you know, we have just split as a Methodist church. We're very familiar with some differences of opinion between leaders and feelings about human sexuality. So, you know, don't automatically think that because Ed is a pastor here and I tell you to do this, that you have got to automatically say this is right and correct and God-given. I mean, I wish I could say it was different, but it's not. Everybody has a choice to make between man's words and man's norms and God's. So we as Christians have some tough choices to make in today's world. Years ago, our leaders chose to enact many of the Bible's laws and teachings into the laws of our land, and our teachings also reflected those principles. Unfortunately, over the year, the laws of our land have become far, far more liberal and drifted away from their biblical roots towards society's wants. Subjects like abortion, divorce, and human sexuality, to name a few, have been relaxed to the point that prohibitions against these practices have now been virtually eliminated. We now have to decide whether to choose to follow our Christian teachings and values as presented in the Bible as God's laws and values, or do we accept the new laws and values as presented by our leaders and accepted by society? Sometimes in this day and age, it's hard to remember that there are two sets of laws and values to consider. We just go along with current practices, which in most cases make for an easier choice to make. Right, an easier choice to make and to follow. You know, since making a choice is a subjective practice, it is easy to see that one person's choice may be totally different from another's choice. Yet both will feel that they have made the wise choice. Another challenge we have as Christians has nothing to do with man's or society's laws and customs. We have to often make choices based on our Christian beliefs, teaching, and laws. Sorry, I'm not particularly picking on tithing, but it's just an easy one to use for examples. And, you know, do we tithe fully as expected in the scripture? How much are we willing to do without if we tithe the expected amount? Then there's problems and difficulties. Can we afford life's basic necessities to support ourselves and our families if we tithe the expected amount? Will we be able to afford to pay for our food, our housing, our power, our medical bills? These are very tough choices. They're very difficult to make, and they're very, very common in many, many people's everyday lives. Not all choices that we have to make are as critical or serious to affect our quality of life. Sometimes you run into situations like, if we receive a bonus at work, do we decide to pay a tithe on it? Or do we spend the whole bonus on the new boat or the car that we want, since we can't afford to do both with the bonus we got? That's another choice. But hopefully that one's a little bit easier to make than deciding whether to eat and drink or heat or not. Lastly, there are the choices we make in our relationships with others as Christians. And now we're going to get back to pretty much a little bit more of what the scriptures that we had read were talking about. Do we judge other people by how they dress or how they look or by how much education they have? Or by how much money and how many possessions they have, or even if they can help us to get ahead? You know, do we associate with people that we want because they can get us or give us something, or do we do it out of friendship and brotherly love? Do we ever think of the poor and the needy and try to assist them in their life challenges? Do we attend services on Sunday, or do we go fishing, camping, etc., or just decide to sleep in? All of these choices are made by using the wisdom you have acquired during your lifetime, and decisions you've made in the past may be far, far different from the decisions you would make today. I know that in my case, this is very true. Wisdom is something that is acquired as you age, and it does not always change for the better. I wish it did, but it doesn't. Some people definitely change and go the other way. Many have let their life experiences turn them bitter and hardened towards others, while others will have their life experiences teach them to be better Christians, more forgiving, compassionate, and giving. I pray that each of us use our acquired wisdom to become the second example, better Christians, more forgiving, more compassionate, and more giving early in our lives rather than later, which in my opinion will make them wiser much sooner. Let each of us strive to live our lives making our decisions in accordance with God's wisdom and not man's wisdom and laws and judgments. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. We'll sing our last hymn is 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Beloved, may God bless you today and all days with wisdom that guides you to notice the needs of all around you and to share the work of nurturing abundant life for all of God's creations. Amen. Go in peace.